Welcome back to the Sustainable Business Podcast. In this series, we're looking a bit further afield and diving into the idea of global local. So there isn't really a day that goes by when there isn't news from around the globe, around climate, net zero, and issues around sustainability. So inevitably, all these announcements not only shape businesses worldwide, but also a bit closer to home and influence small businesses here in the UK. So we'll be exploring how the small businesses we are talking to in this series, what they're doing on a local level to make a difference to the bigger picture. So today I'm joined, glad to say, with Ellie Baker, founder of Bilinguising, the award-winning kids' language and music company, helping little ones learn French, Spanish, and more through song and movement. So welcome, Ellie. Thanks so much for joining us today on the podcast. So you tell us a bit more about this wonderful company that you're running, Bilinguising. I'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. Yeah, I'd be delighted to. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's very exciting. So Bilinguising, it was founded by me in 2013 when I had my first child, Seren, and I had been almost 10 years a language teacher in the secondary and middle school classroom in Berkshire, where I still live today. And the thought of going back to my job as a teacher after she was born just felt, I suppose, and I'm not trying to use a pun here, but it felt unsustainable to me, right? I just felt like I could not choose between motherhood and being a teacher. And I know any teachers listening to this, this will resonate deeply, that teaching is very all-consuming, and it can be very, very difficult to balance both of those things. And I sat back as a young teacher and watched a lot of my colleagues go through this transition in life and see the struggle it was for them, particularly my female colleagues. And I thought, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to go put myself through that. There has to be another way for me to contribute to the household, using my love of languages and my teaching expertise, and make that fit around my young family. I wanted to have more children at that point, so I knew that it wasn't going to get easier if I went back to teaching. And I was so committed to that goal that I thought, what, you know, it was born out of a need to live differently and work differently.
And now you have, is it 18 different franchises across the UK? So that's, you know.
Yes, but 20 including my own, which I've retained, and my sister's, who's also a former teacher and is co-founder with me, and she's based in Leamington Spa. So we have 18 other franchisees that own businesses around the UK, and we are in a period of growth, and we hope that will grow, you know, considerably over the coming years.
Yeah. So you've got a lot on your plate, and we a lot of small businesses we speak to on these wonderful podcasts are juggling a lot of things. So I suppose one of the things that we often hear about is climate change, you know, net zero, and what can small businesses do? But I mean, in terms of balancing that on a day-to-day basis, how do you manage to do that? Are you influenced by what's in the news, or say what people are saying globally, or is it just in kind of the way that you work locally with local communities, the people you work with? How does it feature in the way that you run your business, I suppose?
I think it's a really interesting question, Rebecca, because if I'm totally honest, I'm not always that conscious of how green we're being, because it's never been, and there aren't really many things in our business model that you could flag up as being typically not eco-friendly, you know, compared to other businesses. So we're quite... We have low overheads. Most all our franchisees work from home. We work in schools and nursery settings. So a lot of the time, most of the time, we have one individual franchisee or teacher working within that franchise, going to visit a number of, you know, students and little students in one setting, rather than them all going on separate journeys. So I suppose I'm always thinking about petrol, mileage, that kind of thing. Although we do have community classes where parents are coming to us, but as it's very local, we don't really have those concerns about travel and how we're polluting the atmosphere in that way.
The carbon footprint is very low because
the carbon footprint of our, I suppose, the logistics of class delivery, I would say is low compared to a lot of other businesses.
Yeah.
But where the only sort of areas where I feel might have raised concerns for me are, you often see with like kids' sensory music classes, lots of use of different props that come from China that are plastic, that are easily broken, that are very sort of seen as disposable items. They're very cheap. And that's something that, you know, we haven't been completely immune to in the beginning, in the early days, but we are much more conscious now of, if we are using props that are, can do contain like plastics and non-eco-friendly materials, we are conscious to take care of those. And we do have quite strict protocols about how we take care of them, so we're not always buying, renewing and wasting props that we buy. So that's one of the small things. Other things are, we're very much paper free as an organization now. We do most of our training online. So those are the kind of things that come to mind initially when you asked me initially, Rebecca, how conscious are you about how eco-friendly you're being as a business? So that's sort of from the green perspective. But there are other aspects of sustainability, other ways in which I think our business model promotes sustainability for not just our customers and the little ones who are the end receivers, end users of our product, our classes and our music, but also for our franchisees that work within the business and their reasons for wanting a different way of working and living, much like what I was looking for when I started out in 2013.
Yeah. And are you finding that, you've got a lot of pressure from, you know, these little people and their parents, obviously as part of this community, I suppose, on a local level, are kind of looking and questioning you around your kind of carbon footprint, or, you know, do you feel there's a pressure or a demand to do things slightly differently, or are you just, you evolving with them, or are you, like you were saying about the plastic, you know, the single-use plastic? I mean, that's one tangible thing, I suppose, isn't it? But are you feeling that any kind of requests from them are coming through, or is it not really there yet?
Not really. If I'm totally honest, I don't think it's something that our customers flag up to us as, could you be more eco-friendly? Yeah. Is there anything more we could be doing? So later on in this month, we have our annual conference and we will be bringing it up, just because it's now top of mind and it is making me really think, is there more we can do? I mean, things that we've definitely, I think, naturally evolved towards more eco-friendly practices over the past decades. You know, we, for example, have moved away from having CDs with our music and now it's all digital. Lesson plans and things like that, we discourage franchisees from printing those out. But I think most of our franchisees are aware of these things anyway. They don't need to be told. They don't, you know, obviously it is common practice. Yeah. We share our practices, but I think a lot of the things we're doing are quite common sense based. Why would you print something that you wouldn't, you know, that you don't need to print, using digital resources where possible? So that's another thing we do and we've always done, is rather than print out, in the early days, I would have posters and printouts of the lyrics around the room so parents could read them and engage with that. But now we use projectors. You know, most classrooms and even nurseries now have got some kind of smart board or projector, so we can just plug in and project things. So we're not leaving that kind of trail behind. That's not to say that using energy for these things is, you know, not worthy of mention, but we do, you know, we don't leave a lot of debris behind. You know, when we run a class, everything goes away, everything gets cared for and cleaned and reused. I mean, some of the props I bought in 2013 and I'm still using them because I've taken care of them. So, and I do sometimes think that businesses like ours can be overlooked in terms of like, what do we have to contribute to the story of being green, being eco-friendly and reducing carbon footprint? But actually, maybe that's because that, you know, we're not contributing too greatly to that. Or maybe that's naive of me to say, you know, we are
manufacturing and things like
that. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
But really, we have like a core kit for delivery. And if you can, I suppose, compared to a parent having all these toys at home for one, two or three children to enjoy, we've got hundreds of children. Each franchisee is reusing those for hundreds of children, yeah. not just theirs at home. So I guess you can almost compare it to a library of toys or something that a community is getting to enjoy. Yeah, so now that I'm thinking about it, you know, I do believe we have made a positive shift over the years, and it would be really nice to make that a bit more conscious and to bring that yeah. conversation into my franchisee network a little bit more and see where else we can start making a difference in that area, really.
You were saying then about, you know, that I suppose, you know, you've got manufacturers who are seen to be, you know, have emissions and stuff, whatever. Do you feel that you've had any guidance from, say, the local council or the local businesses that have actually provided you with some help or some advice? Have you, or anything from the government that you've seen, oh, well, that's helpful, I'll integrate that in my business? Has there been anything at all?
No. That's a simple answer, Rebecca. No. It's not something that's come to my attention. I receive, as a you know, business owner, lots of mail around,
yes,
you know,
imagine.
Yeah, but people trying to pitch things to you, people trying to sell you credits, people, and of course things from the government, you know. But never have I received any kind of guidance that would help us align ourselves more to being greener and more eco-friendly. But it's actually something that would really interest me and the rest of my team, for sure.
Yeah, and does your business have links to other businesses within the community, or?
At a local level, absolutely. And even at a head office level, you know, my sister and I, as a head office team, attend events nationally where we rub shoulders with other franchisors and class providers. There could be room for discussion at that kind of event, I think, because lots of people nationally come together at these events, franchisors, franchisees, to receive updates and education in the industry, in the sector. Wouldn't that be lovely to actually
a guide to, you know, like a checkpoint or a checklist of things that you could be doing that you're not aware of, or access to funding maybe that you wouldn't be aware of that might just make a little bit of a difference, I suppose, would be helpful.
It would be helpful to have some guidance, because I think, as you can probably tell, Rebecca, I feel like I'm kind of winging it, you know. I'm a parent and I'm an educator, so I am always in my heart, you know, here for the children's future, both my children and the children that I come into contact with and that we're providing services for. So of course it's highly important. It's part, you know, it's integral to our company values to be leaving the world a better place for future generations. But do I have explicit guidance as to how we can really make sure we're thinking about everything our business could do? Mm. No, I don't. No, I haven't. But it would be really lovely to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, your business is so inspiring. I mean, we were speaking earlier briefly about, you know, the role that your business page played in terms of empowering women to go back to work, doing things differently, because you're a great role model for that yourself in setting up the business you've enabled. And also, you know, the things that you do with children in kind of providing them with the experience and access to language as well, which we know is a dying thing as well. So I don't know whether you want to talk a bit more about that, because I thought that was so interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I could wax lyrical about this for hours, so I'll try and do my brief version. But yeah, so I, you know, going back to my point about being a young teacher, observing the women, older women, people I looked up to in my role as a teacher, returning to work following a period of maternity leave, and just absolutely run ragged, being demoted, having responsibilities taken away from them, even having their classrooms taken away from them. One of my beloved colleagues was given a stationery cupboard when she came back to work, and it was the most, you know, she was such an inspiring leader in that school, and it was like, well, this is all we're giving you now.
Yeah.
These kind of practices happened so frequently, and I just knew that I felt like I'd done my time in that kind of environment, and I was ready to do something for myself. And this is one of the wonderful things about being in my position, is that I have created a model that I can provide for other women.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked and we were back about sustainability of women in the workplace and being able to provide for their families, and being able to do that on a, you know, in their own locality can be obviously more sustainable from the family's point of view, that, you know, as a mum, you know, I needed to be, and I still need to be, not far away from my children, so I can, at the drop of a hat, be that first person, you know, to go pick them up should anything hit the fan while, you know, I'm at home trying to work, you know. And it's a real privilege to be able to provide that business model to other women who also have a passion of, like mine, of sustainability of languages.
Absolutely.
And that's another passion. That's where it all came from. And there's a really interesting backstory there, that languages, when I started as a teacher in 2004, it was the sort of the start of the end of languages being seen as important in UK schools. That was my perspective on it anyway. It was compulsory at GCSE level, then it suddenly wasn't compulsory at GCSE anymore. Then the government wanted to incentivize primary schools to start teaching it from year three onwards, so from the age of seven. All these plans were put into place. And then the 2010 coalition, that funding was withdrawn and it was no longer compulsory. And it's gone back and forwards ever since. We're now certainly in most of the UK, I believe. I'm not sure what the stance is with Wales, I should know this being a Welsh woman myself, but I am not very in touch with the Welsh system anymore. I know that Welsh is still very much, you know, a priority in many Welsh schools from a young age. But in England, which is the only place I've ever worked as a teacher, languages just are not a priority. And although there's a statutory requirement to deliver that in local authority schools, often it's done with a bit of it's a tick box exercise, and it's not been done thoroughly. And I know what it's like to be that teacher that's juggling everything. It's nobody's fault. It's just that's the way it is. So companies like ours, providing languages for children from a young age, are helping those families who do value languages to get that in at an early age, because if you do the research into languages and brain development, the earlier the better. If a child is being sort of introduced, exposed to an environment where multiple languages are being spoken, even from being in the womb, the effect that has on the brain is incredible. The science is remarkable. And that was the foundation of me creating this business. Helping families to leverage that window of opportunity in children's brain development.
Coming back to, you know, the theme of the global thing, that is the bit that you're doing in terms of the global marketplace.
Right. I mean, absolutely. So why should our children be at a disadvantage compared to our European counterparts, whose children are often semi-fluent in English by the time they're like 11, by the time they get into secondary school? If they're, you know, I know that that's the generalisation and it's not the reality across the board, but I've seen it firsthand, you know.
Businesses investing, you know, providing investment for the next generation, which is hugely powerful, isn't it? You've seen an opportunity and you're trying to make something different. So I think that's wonderful what you're doing. Very inspiring.
Thank you.
And if people want to get in touch who are listening to this podcast, how would they get in touch? What's your website address and are you on social media?
We're all over social media, and I have one of those business names that are difficult, that's difficult to spell and difficult to pronounce, but once you've got it, it rolls off the tongue, but it doesn't immediately. So Bilinguising, spelled bilingual but without the L on the end, so bilinguising.com. So, and all of our socials have the handle at Bilinguising, and I'm on LinkedIn as just Ellie Baker, founder of Bilinguising. So do connect with me. I read every message and I'm always delighted to hear from other business owners or people who are interested in what we do. Anybody who wants to reach out, we will welcome. And do follow us on our socials if you've got young kids who you think would benefit from our language, music and our classes and our books and resources that we have. You'd be very welcome to join the Bilinguising family.
Thanks, Ellie. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much and good luck with everything. We'll keep an eye on it and maybe come back to you next year and see whether I can learn a language, or we'll see.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.